Hey friends, I want to thank our sponsor, Raygun. Are you struggling to replicate the bugs and performance issues that your customers are reporting? Plug Raygun into your web and mobile applications right now and diagnose problems in minutes rather than hours. Kiss goodbye having to dig through log files and relying on frustrated users to report issues. Make your software development life so much easier using Raygun's error, crash, and performance monitoring tools. Every software team can create flawless software experiences for their customers with Raygun. Try it free today at raygun.com. That's RAYGUN.com. Hi, this is Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Hansel Minutes. And today I'm talking with Stephen Kirk, former GitHub employee, and now working on Avalonia, a cross-platform XAML framework. Are you doing this full-time in your fun employment?
Almost full-time, kind of half-time. It's not really paying yet, so I've got a bit of paid work going on. But a lot more than I was when I had a full-time job, let's say.
All right. Now, when people look at Avalonia, at avaloniaui.net, they might say, oh, well, this is a cross-platform WPF. You know, Stephen and friends have re-implemented WPF, the Windows Presentation Foundation, but it's different than that.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. I'll give you some background. Originally, I was trying to re-implement WPF and make it cross-platform, but I got a few months into that, and I was like, I'm not having fun here. I got to, I think, list collection view, which is, if you try and reverse engineer that class, you won't have fun. And so I kind of decided the world doesn't need another UI framework, but no one's going to use this, you know, it's for fun. So I just kind of started re-implementing it how I wanted to do it, taking bits from WPF, bits from UWP, bits from CSS, bits from HTML, but mostly it's kind of based on WPF. It's broadly similar.
So maybe rather than a re-implementation, it's a reimagining of how one would do it.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I wish I could go back in time and kind of make changes, some changes that I made just for the sake of it back then, that incompatibilities with WPF. I kind of wish that I could go back in time and undo those and just follow the WPF API a little bit more closely. But as I said, I didn't know it was going to be used when I started with this. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing with all open source projects. I mean, I don't think that the people that made Node thought it would become Node.
Right. Yeah.
So you didn't feel bad about that.
Yeah. I mean, nothing else I'd written before in my life has ever really been used by anyone, more than a handful of people at least. So,
mm-hmm. So WPF itself, the way that WPF works is kind of different than how people usually expect things to work. Like with WinForms, and I'm familiar with WinForms, mm-hmm. It's a very thin layer over the Windows API. So when you say put a button on a screen and, you know, with Windows Forms, it's a real Windows button. It's just a layer over Win32. But does WPF and Avalonia try to hide the underlying operating system? Is it a similar thought?
Yeah, well, I mean, it doesn't try to hide it so much as it completely ignores it. The controls are all client drawn, so mm-hmm. They're completely lookless as well, which means you can provide your own themes.
Mm.
So it's not OS controls at all. It's completely user drawn. I mean, OS controls, libraries that expose OS controls are useful as well. There's Eto Forms, which does that really well. But you know, it depends what you're looking for. I think there are valid use cases for both.
Mm-hmm. And at the heart of WPF is this thing called XAML, and mm-hmm. Avalonia uses XAML, but the way you phrase it is it's a XAML dialect. What do you mean by dialect?
Well, WPF is a XAML dialect as well, right? WPF and UWP don't use the same XAML exactly. There are slight differences with it. XAML is kind of the low-level mapping of XML onto .NET objects. Mm-hmm. So if you have a different .NET object model, you will have a different XAML dialect, essentially.
Ah, okay. So when you say like an XML element window, and then within that scoped a child element button, you are instantiating an object tree?
Exactly, yeah. That's purely what it's doing. At least recently, since people have started using Avalonia, we've tried to follow WPF a little bit more. When there's no good reason to break away from it, we try to follow it. But yeah, so it's kind of about 75% the same, I'd say, and 25% different. The main thing that differs is our styling system, which is more like CSS.
So the intent isn't that I go and dig up some 10-year-old WPF app and then just swap out some references and hit F5 and then go, look, it's on Linux.
Unfortunately, no. I mean, that would be really cool. But I don't think it would ever be that easy. I mean, a lot of people have been asking about making WPF cross-platform, and I don't think it would be that easy. A lot of WPF is very tied to Win32. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is a possibility that people on our project have talked about this, of taking kind of the Avalonia backend, the stuff that actually draws the stuff on the screen and opens the windows, which mm-hmm. is cross-platform, and porting that to WPF, because the APIs are very, very similar. So it might be possible that we can actually take part of Avalonia and put that into WPF and make WPF at least cross-platform in some ways.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me back up a little bit and ask you this. If I were to write a calculator in WPF and then write the same calculator in Avalonia and I put them on the screen, let's just start with Windows, would they look pretty much the same?
Yeah, kind of similar. Our default theme looks more like UWP at the moment, whereas WPF's default theme is kind of Windows Vista-ish.
Okay, so then Avalonia might look a little bit more modern.
Yeah, a little bit more minimal, like UWP.
Mm-hmm. Okay, UWP, of course, the Universal Windows Platform.
Yes,
and it's kind of confusing to people. How would you explain all of that? You've got Windows Forms, you've got WPF, you've got UWP, but ultimately it's all just Windows. This is all just different ways to put buttons on screens.
Yeah, like WinForms was like a follow-on from VB6. And then they threw everything away and made WPF. And then they threw about half of WPF away and made Silverlight. And then they threw Silverlight away and kind of took most of Silverlight and it turned into UWP. Mm-hmm. But they're all incompatible in different ways, which is, I guess, one of the reasons that I don't feel that bad that Avalonia is incompatible with Microsoft XAML frameworks, because they're all incompatible with each other anyway. So.
Right. But to the original point, these are XAML dialects. So while we can say, well, this was thrown away and that was thrown away, XAML has been there since WPF first started. So that I assume a comfortable familiarity with it would be like speaking Spanish and going to Italy or going to Portugal and going, yeah, this isn't the language I'm used to, but I can muddle along and
figure it out. Yeah, something like that. I'd say it's, you know, living in Italy, I'd say, and going to Spain, I'd say that it's a little bit more than that. You know, you can understand more of Avalonia knowing WPF than you could knowing Italian and going to Spain.
Oh, that's good to know. Okay, so Avalonia is easier than Italian. So you heard it.
Anything's easier than Italian.
Of course, I'm going to get letters from our Italian listeners. Appreciate. But that's good. Okay, so then so familiarity with WPF or UWP is going to make someone feel comfortable in Avalonia. You're going to be able to pick it right up. And you've even got great documentation where you say, you know, there's a doc I'm looking at, Avalonia for WPF developers, where you literally say, all right, welcome, you're a WPF developer, here's what's different.
Right, yeah. I wouldn't say our documentation is great. I mean, that's the number one complaint that people give us. But, you know, we're a purely open source project. It's almost always the case that your documentation isn't the best. But, yeah, we do have documentation for moving from WPF to Avalonia, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think, as with most open source projects, you're too modest. I think your documentation is good. But again, that's an opportunity for anyone who's listening, who is excited about a cross-platform UI framework, to maybe get involved and help out with the documentation.
Please please. You know, we've got quite a few contributors now. I'm very happy with the amount of contributors we have, and things are starting to move really fast, but no one wants to do documentation.
Which is ironic, because it's like the core thing. If you want your project to be successful, you need good docs. And, you know, if you're maybe not a hardcore coder, but you're listening to the show here and you want to have not only on your, you know, on your resume, but on your GitHub contributions, some really interesting work, it can be as simple as fixing a broken image link or fixing spelling or making sure that the samples compile.
Right. Yeah. I mean, documentation is definitely the place where you can have the most impact right now. I mean, I've spent the last 2 days, I think, trying to improve our website and the documentation a little bit. But every one of those days, I'm thinking, but I could be fixing bugs.
That's a good point. Well, because you want to focus on what's important. So there's a formal call. You heard it here first on Hansel Minutes. Avalonia would definitely love help with their docs.
Yes, we would.
Okay, so it's a XAML dialect. It'll feel familiar for anyone who's using WPF or UWP or Xamarin Forms. And you support Windows, Linux, and OS X. And is it true that you're actually looking for even mobile support?
Yeah, Windows, Linux, and OS X, excuse me, are the main platforms we support. We also have very, very experimental support for iOS and Android, but that's kind of not really maintained that well, and it kind of needs things that we're not ready for at the moment as well. So that's kind of be a post 1.0 feature, really, mobile support. But yeah, our core platforms are Windows, Linux, and OS X, which should work reasonably well.
Okay. So this is an opportunity for someone to create a desktop UI that works anywhere. And there's something interesting. I'm noticing it says for .NET Framework, .NET Core, and Mono. You're basically runtime agnostic. Any of the .NETs can run Avalonia?
Yeah, we're a .NET standard library, .NET standard 2.0. So,
That's pretty cool. Now, how does it talk to a back end? Like you said, it is what we call owner draw. You draw the buttons yourself, but you have Win32, you know, windowing back ends, GTK for Linux and Mono Mac. How do these things plug in? Is this like when I write a standard library that talks to any database and I just plug in a database driver? I'm just plugging in a UI driver?
Yeah. I think the docs you're reading are actually a little bit out of date. But we have, essentially, there are two types of backends. There are a windowing backend. There's a windowing backend and a drawing backend. For the windowing backend, we have Win32. We have a native OS X library that's implemented via COM, and then there's a C sharp native thing. I don't know. I've not been involved in that much. I don't have a Mac. and then there is an X11 backend. So those are the windowing backends. We used to go via GTK, but we found that caused problems, and because we just basically need to show a window, it was easier just to implement these kind of things direct on the platform. There's also talk of there being a Wayland backend.
What is that?
Well, Wayland is kind of the successor to X11. It's still, I think, mostly in development. I not used it that much, but yeah, I think it's intended to be the kind of successor to X11. But we don't have a back end for that at the moment. So on Wayland, our apps couldn't really actually run as X11 apps.
But it's interesting that like I mentioned GTK3, and you're like, well, no, we're not using that. We're trying X11. And then you're saying we're trying Wayland. It sounds like it's very nicely factored that you can, in fact, do this. You're swapping out windowing backends to pick the right one for the job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was written with that in mind. And a windowing backend is not actually that big. You know, you just need things to show a window, notify you when you're resizing it. So it's not actually that big. But then there's the other part of it, which is the rendering backend.
Okay.
So the rendering backend, we currently have two. The original one was the original ones were Direct2D on Windows and Cairo on Linux and other platforms.
Okay.
But we've actually moved away from that. And I think we're going to have just one rendering backend, which is going to be Skia.
Ah, that's from Google.
Yeah. Yeah, because Skia is cross-platform anyway. So, but we used to have this Direct2D backend, but it was using SharpDX, which is just now gone into maintenance mode. It's no longer going to be developed. So we're rethinking whether we want to keep that backend around on a unsupported library.
Hmm. A big thank you to our sponsors because they make this show possible, and I hope that you support them the way they support us. Progress Software is the creator of the most comprehensive developer toolkit for building modern apps on the market today, Telerik DevCraft. With more than 1,100 Telerik.NET and Kendo UI JavaScript components and controls, you can easily build modern, high-performance web, mobile, and desktop apps, as well as chatbots. The toolset also includes reporting solutions, automated testing and productivity tools, and comes with a range of support options. New this year is a free online training program for all license holders. With this, alongside thousands of demos and source code available, comprehensive documentation, and a full assortment of Visual Studio templates, you'll be up and running with the Progress Telerik and Kendo UI controls in no time. Download a free 30-day trial today at telerik.com/Hanselman. That's TELERIK.com/Hanselman.
Okay, so then if you have a windowing backend that creates the window and tells you when it's being resized, it basically manages the top-level window and any pop-up windows, and then you have the rendering engine, which is the, what's the best way to get dots on this thing? You know, like, are we a game? Are we, are we using, you know, Direct2D? Are we using Skia? Are we using whatever? There's things to think about, like now DPI and 4K displays. So there's the scaling of that thing. There's also accessibility. When you owner draw a button from the perspective of the operating system or a screen reader, it might not exist. It might be invisible. How do you solve that? And by invisible, I mean it doesn't exist in a DOM that can be accessed programmatically.
Yeah, accessibility is probably the biggest feature that we're missing before we get to 1.0. Mm-hmm. Assuming that it's needed. It's definitely needed, but basically, none of us working on the core project right now know much about it, so we're going to have to learn about it or wait for someone to come in and be able to implement that for us.
There's another exciting opportunity. See, every one of these things is an opportunity for someone in open source to jump in. So
exactly,
you would need to implement accessibility APIs and basically present a DOM to Windows, a document object model to Windows that expressed what was on the screen so that someone who couldn't see could see it.
Yeah, and Linux and OS X. I don't know. There may well be a cross-platform framework for doing that. I have no idea.
Okay.
Yeah, we definitely need that.
So how does Avalonia, though, compare to something like Electron? Like if someone's listening and they've made it this far and they're like, yeah, but why don't I just use Electron, other than the fact that it's kind of big and has a lot of baggage that comes along with it?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I'm actually quite a big fan of Electron. I think it's a great technology. I know there are a lot of people who don't feel that way. But the main difference is it's running on .NET. And you have access to everything that .NET has access to. So with running on Electron, you've got the front end and then the back end that's in Node, and then you might have to write libraries to actually interface with the operating system. You might just want to write C#.
Mm. It does get a little bit messy if it's a big hybrid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, you know, I like Electron, and people say it's, you know, the binaries are huge and everything, but I think they're just looking at a couple of apps. If you look at GitHub Desktop, for example, which it doesn't use that much memory. So I think Electron definitely has a place, but basically I'd say you would use Avalonia when you wanted to make a cross-platform app in C# and XAML rather than in JS and HTML.
Okay. So if you're unapologetically a .NET person, then Avalonia would be your best bet for a cross-platform app. And there's more than enough room. It's not a competition in this case.
No, I don't see it as a competition. No. Mm-hmm. I think there's room for different frameworks and different languages, definitely.
Well, and there are other frameworks. There's like Platform Uno? And I think that Frank Kruger had a thing called We. There seems to be other, lots of people are thinking about what would XAML dialects look like and how would we get buttons on screens.
Yeah, Platform Uno is an interesting one because it actually targets the web, which is something that we don't do. We could potentially do with WASM, but it's something that we're not targeting at the moment. And people are often asking us when we're going to do it. So that's an interesting one, but that doesn't target desktop applications. You know, it's not, it doesn't create an EXE or a DLL that you can run on your machine, which is what we're doing.
Yeah. So they have a thing that takes, it's basically, they call it, UWP bridge. So they can basically bridge it into WebAssembly. So they're kind of betting on, on WebAssembly, and then you're writing XAML, and that's presenting itself in the runtime, and then drawing with Canvas, which is different from something like Blazor, which uses the DOM, the DOM itself to draw.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's a really interesting space right now. There's a lot of stuff going on, and I guess none of this would really have been possible if Microsoft had been slapping open source projects left and right. You know, like open sourcing stuff must have made it easier for you.
Yeah, I don't think open sourcing .NET Core was definitely a big step towards it, but I don't think we're actually using much Microsoft open source technology yet. When when more of WPF is open sourced, we will definitely be able to take parts of that, and I would be very happy to be able to take parts of that. But I think, you know, the XAML engine we're using is portable.xaml, which is a re-implementation of system XAML. Yeah, I don't think, other than the, you know, actual .NET, I don't think we're using much Microsoft technology here.
I see. So the core runtime being open source was helpful. .NET Core, Mono, of course, you have support. But you're not using much of like the recent open sourcing of system.xaml. You have your own XAML.
Yeah. And someone's actually working on a XAML compiler, which Nikita on our project is actually working on a XAML compiler, which will hopefully mean that XAML will be compiled down to IL. So it will be, it will just run as, it, there will be no parsing of XML XAML. It will just compile down to IL and you'll be able to run.
Oh, wow. Would that help WPF? Is that something from open source that could then go back over and make WPF itself better?
This is open source, and I'm pretty sure it could be used by WPF itself as well. Yeah. So, you know, we're all about sharing. All of these things being open source mean everything improves. And, you know, you were saying earlier that there's a lot of movement in this space, and it feels like there was no movement in this space for a long time. So it's really good to see a lot of movement rather than seeing it as, you know, like a as competition. I think it's great that there's things are starting to move here again.
Yeah, I've heard the term co-opetition, where we're all having fun cooperating and competing at the same time, but it's not a kind of a violent competition as it may have been in the past.
Yeah, I've never heard that term, but maybe I'll start using that.
So let me ask you this: someone's listening and they're thinking, "Hey, I want to rewrite, you know, TurboTax or QuickBooks or, you know, not Microsoft Word but Hanselman Word, and you know, I want to bet my company on Avalonia. Is this production ready? Are people shipping apps with this, or am I taking a risk?"
You're taking a risk. I mean, it's not 1.0 yet. It has currently no commercial backing. It's purely volunteers. So, you know, you're taking a risk, but then you're taking a risk adopting any technology.
I'm taking a risk using Node, I would suppose. I mean, there's companies that support it. So maybe you shouldn't sell yourself short.
Yeah. I mean, people took a risk writing their programs on Silverlight, which was discontinued, you know. So you're taking a risk, yeah. And we're not 1.0 yet. So, there will be breaking changes. We try to keep the breaking changes reasonably small, but there are people writing applications on it, and they're going pretty well. I'm constantly surprised by the things people are managing to do with it, because you know, for it to go, I was obviously there. I wrote it, the first commit, you know, which was like, wow, I've got a rectangle on screen, you know, so to see it go from being pleased to have a rectangle on screen to people actually, you know, writing mm-hmm. full applications, IDEs, drawing packages on it is pretty amazing.
How would I know if I, like, maybe I have an Avalonia app on my machine, I didn't even know it. Is there a particular favorite or an app you can mention that's using it?
Well, I think probably the most well-known one would be Wasabi Wallet, mm-hmm. which is a Bitcoin wallet. That's doing pretty well, I think.
Oh, wow.
Others are Avalon Studio, mm-hmm. which is an IDE. Then there's Core2D, which is a drawing package. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure I know I'm forgetting some people. I'm sorry, everyone. I'm sorry.
No worries at all.
I'm sure there are others as well. I know there are people working on a kind of IM client. There are definitely others as well. Hopefully, you wouldn't know that it was an Avalonia application.
I mean, that would be the idea, right? Like, I think that there was a time when you could tell, you could kind of smell Electron, and you'd go, oh, yeah, this feels mm-hmm. weird. This is Electron. I'm actually looking at Wasabi Wallet right now. Went through the install, pops right up. Looks like an app. It's a very attractive app. I couldn't really tell it was anything other than a Windows app because I'm on Windows. It is responsive and fast and operates about as an app should, which is exactly what you would want. And I assume it looks exactly the same on a Mac or on a Linux.
It should, yeah. Because, I mean, there are a few things that give it away at the moment. Like I say, we're still in beta and we're not feature complete and we have bugs. And so there are certain things that give us away at the moment. But the point that we hope to move towards is that you won't be able to tell. You know, it'll be just a framework. You can make it look, we'd like to have, you know, an OS X theme. We'd like to have a Ubuntu theme. So it could even look different on different platforms if you wanted to.
That would be really nice.
Yeah, it's just getting there.
Interesting. Okay, that reminds me of like my time doing cross-platform UI in Java. The thing about Java, when you tried to write an app that ran anywhere, is it ended up looking like Java everywhere, you know? Or if you wrote something in Delphi, like you find that certain button with the big green checkbox and you're like, oh, I've seen that before. That smells like Delphi. Yeah.
Which is actually getting more common now with more things using Electron and not using the native Windows toolkit. It's kind of more usual that an app will look the same across platforms than an app looking like it fits on the platform.
Yeah, it seems to be a philosophy there that some people feel that you should, you know, look as much like a native app as possible, and other ones mm-hmm. have their own style and they are kind of unapologetically their own style. Because if you have a visual style for your brand, for your company or whatever, there's no reason that your app can't look like a website or use the same fonts and colors that that your users are used to.
Yeah, exactly. I think it depends on where you're coming from, whether you're coming from the web or whether you're coming from, you know, like writing separate applications for each platform.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, the styles, the way that you do styles in Avalonia is different from WPF, and it kind of borrows concepts from CSS. So I suppose that people could make whatever styles make them happy.
Yeah. I mean, our method of theming controls is broadly the same as WPF and UWP in that we use control templates. It's broadly the same, but our styles are a little bit more powerful. I always found the styling system in WPF to be a little lacking. So we kind of took some ideas from CSS there. Hopefully the good ideas from CSS and not the ones that make you pull your hair out. Mm-hmm. But took the hopefully a few ideas from CSS that makes life a little bit easier for that.
I was noticing also that you've got Avalonia for Visual Studio. So you've got project templates and a UI designer, and it's currently set to work in 2017 and 2019 versions of Visual Studio. I assume that is the best way to get started is to install that plugin from the Visual Studio Marketplace.
Yeah, definitely. That's the best way to get started. We still need to kind of provide plugins for other IDEs as well, but Visual Studio's the only one we support out of the box. Well, not out of the box, but, you know, that we have official support for at the moment.
Okay. And then from there, you can go and basically file a new project and get started right away, and it'll go and bring down the appropriate NuGet packages and then set you up for success?
Yeah, we also have .NET templates as well, .NET Core templates, sorry, so that you can, you know, just scaffold a new project in .NET Core as well, but you won't get the designer. But you don't actually need the designer, you know, you can,
oh, really?
You can work without a designer.
Okay, so that's just .NET new Avalonia.app, so kind of file new project from the command line.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you've got two templates there at the command line. You've got Avalonia.app, and then you've got Avalonia.app.mvvm. So you're kind of using that,
yes,
that reactive UI pattern.
Yeah, the MVVM application uses reactive UI, which is a great library for model view, whatever it's called, if you spell it out.
Model view, view model. Yeah.
Model view, view model, yeah. Yeah, we use reactive UI for that by default. We ship a version of reactive UI, which is kind of tailored to our framework.
So you've got an active GitHub repository. You're working on this half-time. You're looking for help, mm-hmm, but you also have a lot of contributors. I look on the page there at the bottom. There's a lot of faces. A lot of people have been involved.
Yeah, yeah. We've got a great, a huge amount of contributors, you know, and that's actually, we've got so many contributors that I can't keep up with pull requests. So that's another way people can help, like reviewing pull requests, because yeah, we're getting a lot of them. And we mostly hang out in Gitter. There's a Gitter room, which is very, very active as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone's interested, check out our Gitter room, drop in and say hi.
Yeah, it looks like you've got 1,000+ closed pull requests, but you've got 24 open right now. So there's another opportunity. And some of those go back a while. So I think that,
yeah,
there's a huge opportunity here. I always tell people, find a great project that's on the come up and get involved, whether it be writing docs or helping out. So where can people get a hold of you and the team?
Yeah, Gitter's the best way. Gitter.im/Avalonia,
okay,
I think is the URL.
Yep.
I don't know.
I will make sure that that's in the show notes. It's, yeah, gitter.im/Avalonia UI/Avalonia. I'll make sure that the links to the GitHub repository and the Gitter channel are all in the show notes so people can get involved. And thank you very much, Stephen Kirk, for chatting with me today about Avalonia, a cross-platform XAML framework for .NET.
Thank you.
This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you again next week.